Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight with the brethren, and I trust the Lord will help us as we think about this psalm here. Psalm 121 says here in verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, and my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And even forevermore. The title of tonight's message is this: Keep Looking Up. Keep looking up. That is the attitude that you sense here from this psalmist. Now, you'll notice in your Bible there right under the chapter, it says a song of degrees. What is that exactly mean? Well, there's a lot of opinions around that, but there is a common theme of interpretation along the Song of Degrees. Well, number one, we do know there's songs that everyone agrees on that, your theologians and scholars. There's songs that were sung by the nation of Israel, but specifically there's 15 here. You'll see where it starts in Psalm 120 and goes through Psalm 134. And basically, these songs are short, somewhat short, but there's different thoughts on where they originated. Now, we know that four of them David wrote, because it says specifically a song of degrees of David in four of them. One of them was actually written by Solomon. And then the others were just the general description, a song of degrees. So what does this word degrees mean? Does it mean that which you receive upon graduation? Well, there is a similarity there because what it means is steps. And it means steps toward something. And what has generally been concluded is that these songs were sung by the nation of Israel as they got closer to Jerusalem. As they would be approaching that city, perhaps those three yearly festivals that they would go to as families and groups, they would all convene upon the little town of Jerusalem, and they would sing these songs. That's been thought of. Also, it's very likely that these songs could have been sung from the Babylonian captivity. There is a sense of homesickness that you hear in these songs. Perhaps those Israelites that were in captivity who knew about their hometown, their home city. They knew about the wonderful stories that were there and the wonderful lives that were built in the city of Jerusalem. So we see here in Psalm 121 is a song that is calling out or recognizing help. Help that comes indeed from the Lord. So we see here that also one of the opinions of where these songs could have come from is that they were related to the steps going into the temple. There's say 15 steps, and each step they would pause and sing this song about the holiness of God and the worship of God there in Jerusalem and in the temple. And but one of the, like I said, one can conclude that this particular song, Psalm 121, reminded the singers that the true help in life comes from God. And God alone. That is definitely clear. And what's interesting about this song is that starts off as a bit of a dialogue. You notice the pronouns do shift, and it starts off, I will lift up mine eyes, my help cometh from the Lord. And then it transitions down at verse number 3, and it transitions to, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And it goes on down to, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. And it gives the picture of possibly as they're approaching the temple or as they're gazing upon the temple, you have one who's starting off in song here about, where his help is coming from. And then you have another who possibly could be a priest or a spiritual leader who confirms what he is saying. He's like, you know what you're talking about, your help coming from the Lord, you're exactly right. And let me go ahead and take it a step further and tell you all about him. And so that's another meaning of the steps of degrees, because one of the things you'll notice about the degrees, the steps that we see correlating through these 15 songs is that they build. You start off on a song, it builds. It starts off, you know, where it talks about I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, and my help cometh from the Lord. He made heaven and earth, and it goes into a description. So they're building upon each other that this is a great encouraging song about the help of the Lord. I'd like to start off here just to notice, number one, that we need to look at what direction, looking at this psalm and verses, especially verse one, what direction must we look for help? Up. That is what we see right here. I will lift up mine eyes, okay? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Now, we see that this looking up is symbolic of looking to God. And there's one thing for sure that we have to conclude right at the very beginning here is that if anybody's ever going to find true help in life, it has to begin and end with God alone. He is the one that brings the true help. You say, well, that's pretty simplistic there. That should be understood. Well, you see, I've been there, you've been there, where we go through things in life and all of a sudden we catch ourselves really looking to other things for help. We do. And here's the dangerous thing about it. Sometimes we look to things that are actually God created and they're not bad in themselves, but we look to them to bring us the help that only God Himself can bring. I'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But it says here, he looked up into the hills. Now, the hills there are speaking of the hills found in Judea. They're around Jerusalem. And where the hills were located, again, was symbolic of where the temple of God was stationed. And is where it was placed. And where the temple of God, in this context, there was what? The presence of God. That's where God resided. That's where they went and worshiped Him. It was that place that God. So that's what it represented. It was looking to God. And this is an obvious choice to look in the right direction. How many of you today, October the 16th, 2019, at some point in your day needed some help? Everyone should raise their hand. You needed help to get out of the bed this morning. Amen. Some of you, that seems more serious than others, more realistic. But it truly is real. And to every step we take, everything we do. But then sometimes in life, there are things that we realize it even more so. When we're tempted to be angry, when we're tempted to lust, when we're tempted to be jealous, or when tempted to be lazy, whatever the case may be, we need the help of God every day. We need the help of the Lord to overcome everything in life, and every day we need Him. So we begin by looking to Him, and this is where I mentioned we need to be careful. That we don't look to the creation more than we do the Creator. Because if you noticed in this is, you don't see a question mark there, but this is definitely that gives the connotation of a question. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? Where is my help from the hills? He's not saying that his help is in the hills. No, he's saying he's looking in that direction, which we talked about as being symbolic of Judea, but his help was not in the hills. Now, they spoke of the majesty and glory of God. I was just up in the Georgia mountains the past couple days, and it does speak of the glory of God, His creation. It's majestic. It's beautiful. But my help does not come from any hill, and neither does yours. And this psalmist knew that, but I know, and you know, that sometimes we can get into a trap where we actually look to those things to be our help. Some of those things might be to people. God created people, and God does use people in our lives to help us. But listen, there's a thing called codependency, and it's very real. And it's basically where we in our lives, where we do not find ourselves being truly helped in life to get through life unless we have this person. That's wrong. That's depending more on the creation than the Creator. Nothing wrong with drawing help from someone. Don't misinterpret me, please. Don't misunderstand me. But the fact of the matter is, there is no person in my life, even my best friend and my favorite person on earth, Joanna Lynn Jennings, she is never to be my true source of help. And I hope she feels the same way about me. Our true source of help is the Lord God. And He is the one I look to. Some people look at nature as their true help. They say, well, I can just get out in the woods, and well, I can get around some trees and get around animals. Or they look to the creation again for being that true help, and it's not going to happen. Those things can be an aid in that, but truly it's not going to help the way God, only God can help. Other things are their food, God's creation. People look to food and food alone. Then drugs. People turn to drugs. Drugs are to be used in a medicinal purposes, in a medicinal way. But some people look to them for just helping them through life. Things that God created, we had started off the service with music. Music can be a help, but if I look at music as if I can only have a good day as if I have this certain type of music, my friends, that becomes a point of I'm looking to something God created to be my help rather than the Creator Himself. You see, you have to understand that God has to be the main source of my help. And of course, these things I've named can be a help to a certain degree. But when this psalmist, when he says, I look, lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? He said, my help comes from the Lord. And so before we move on to the next point, I believe that as we think of these hills, it is a reminder of where God is in this context in Jerusalem. A reminder how great God is. And I believe if we want to find help, this songwriter is going to do is what we all need to do. You know what he does, church? He meditates on the attributes of God. And if we're going to find help in life every day, we're going to meditate on the attributes of God. Let me just mention a few tonight. I'd like to talk about that God, number one, is all powerful. We call Him, His omnipotence. Because we, number one, have to realize that God is all powerful. Then secondly, we realize that God is always present. He's always everywhere. A theological word for that is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. And then we need to understand a third attribute, and there are more that we could go through, but that's where we'll go tonight, is that God is all-knowing. And we call that Him being omniscient. So first of all, let's look at God being all-powerful. Verses 2 through 3, notice He says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He's the Creator God. He's not looking to the mountains. He's looking to the one who made the mountains. That's my God. Yes, I can be in awe when I step under a great mountain view or whatever it may be, a great waterfall or the Grand Canyon or wherever it might be in this world in His nature. But one thing ought to just awe me the most is the very fact that my God who loves me and cares for me created that. That is what I believe He's understanding here. The one who spoke this world into existence by the words of His mouth is the one I call to and go to for help. You see, he notices his omnipotence through his creation. But notice also, he notices his power by keeping him from moving. Notice what he says there in verse number 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And that's talking about in a time of trouble, that being stationary in the sense of being steadfast and being faithful. Hey, listen, folks, there's not a person in this room that's not facing something right now that's trying to move you. I'm telling you, because I know my own heart, and I know the human heart, listen, there's not a person in this room that's not facing in some way some resistance, or in some way some oppression, I should say, or opposition, trying to move you from the will of God. But we have to understand that, as this songwriter did, we keep our focus on God Almighty, who will keep us from moving. And I thank God that you are here tonight, because that is a evidence from my perspective, but more importantly from God's perspective, that you are going to Him for your help. That's where you're putting your priority. That's where you're putting your focus. And I want to commend you on that. And this man said, look, I want to focus on God's power, who created all things. He is the one to keep me from moving. Just a couple years ago, a devastating hurricane hit down from the Gulf, and it had tragic damage that was done to so many homes, and Hurricane Harvey, just unbelievable damage. It's hard for us to even comprehend. But there was a 1,100-year-old oak tree that took on the brunt of the power of the storm. It took on 40 inches of rain and just a small period of time, 40 inches of rain, just in a day or two, okay, 40 inches, 40 inches of rain. And on top of that, you had 108-mile-an-hour winds that came across that. So you're talking about a perfect storm for this 1,100-old oak tree being toppled. Oh, yes. But you know, it stood strong. It was left standing in Goose Island State Park. And there was a plant pathologist from Texas A&M University said this is not the first hurricane that it has sat through. That oak tree remained steadfast, even in that storm. And I want to tell you tonight, if you will keep your eyes on your Maker, He will keep you from moving. Everything in this world will try to get you to move, friend. The world will try to get you to move. Satan will try to get you to move. Your own deceitful heart will try to get you to move. But that's where you bring it back, as this songwriter did, and get your eyes upon your Maker, your Creator, and remember His omnipotence. He is an all-powerful God, but also we see that He is always present with us. I can look to Him for my help. My help comes from the Lord because He's always with me. Now, before I go further into this point, remember the context of this. This is for people. This is conditional. This is only for people that look to Him. Because I've heard people say, now, God's not doing these things for me. He's not taking care of me, watching over me. And they are not looking to Him. This is in the context of someone who was looking to the Lord. God, I'm looking to You. And so tonight, let's make sure that's where our heart is, because then we can claim this great promise that God is all powerful and to protect us. So we see that He's also always present. And that's verse number 3, the second part. It says that He that keepeth thee will not what? Slumber. He's not going to sleep. And you know, back to the song of degrees, they build on each other. Notice number 5. Verse 4, he says, He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You see the emphasis there. It's a building on top of each other. And what we see here tonight is goes along with the song that Brother Mike opened us up with, is that God is with us. He is in tune with what's going on in my life. He knows what I'm struggling with. He knows what you're troubled about right now as I preach this message. He knows what is troubling you. And He knows where we've been, and He knows where we're going. He's always present with us, and He's not going to be caught off guard on what we face. We see here in this language of the songwriter, he goes on to say he doesn't sleep or slumber. He is the keeper. That idea is the watcher, to keep watch over us. That's our Lord. And I'm thankful that I can call on my Lord at any time of any day and know that He is in tune. Listen, that ought to just boggle our minds. I know sometimes we take these truths as just being childlike, and we just take them for granted sometimes and don't let it really meditate on them. But the very fact that every born-again believer in this world has the full attention of the triune God at all times. Is that awesome or what? It's a miracle. I have God's full attention upon my life at all times. When there are millions of other Christians in this world, millions, that He also is giving His full attention. Our human minds can't get around that. We have our children. I got three little ones, 7, 5, and 3. And when I'm giving one attention, I tell you, it's really hard to give the other one attention. And you can tell it too, because the other, as soon as you pick up one and start loving on one, the other two are like, "Zoop, me too." No, but we see that we can't do that. But I tell you tonight, be comforted that God is fully focused on your life tonight. And if you let your mind get away from that, you think, "Well, God's forgotten about me. He's more focused on this family, that town, that city, that church. He's not really thinking about us." Listen, you're being moved. Don't get moved. Know that God cares about you tonight so much that He is fully involved and interested in what is happening in your heart at this very moment. And He goes on to say this to describe it even more. He says, "I'm going to be the keeper, the one who watches over you every day. I'm with you." He says, "I will be a shade to you from the intensity of life." He gives two illustrations here. He says there in your Bible, he says about the sun or the moon. I believe he's talking about the moon there. He's talking about the coldness of the night. And I believe he's talking about the heat of the day when he's talking about the sun shall not smite thee by day. Listen, the intensity of life, it does come in seasons, doesn't it, church? The intensity of life, it comes in seasons, doesn't it? Aren't you thankful for that? Some of you can testify of some of the trials that you've been through in recent months and years. And you can testify, thank God that that is not happening every day. But I want to tell you something, church. God is with us every day. And He says, "I'm not going to let the intensity of life overtake you. I'm with you." And I think about when I was in the Sahara Desert, and Joanna knows about this. I remember when we would go out to the desert, and they didn't have houses out there. They had tents, and they had shade trees. But I remember going out there and many times, and I remember the first time I went out there, and that was 2007, before Joanna and I were married. And I went out there as an intern with Brother Edens. And so I went out there, and my first trip out in the desert, I'll never forget it. I think it was around 1:30, 1:40. And just the intensity of that sun. And when we went to the first encampment, I literally thought I was going to be medically ill. I thought I was going to pass out. I thought I was going to, something bad was going to happen. And, but one of the first things that we did once we got out of the car is we all went over to this shade tree. Boy, I thought I was sitting under a 35-ton Carrier air conditioning just because I was under a shade tree. That's how intense the sun was. I was able to step under this shade tree and find that much relief where I was like, okay, maybe I'm not going to die before I get married. And thank God the Lord preserved my life, and I was able to go home 2 months later and get married. But The fact of the matter is, this is a picture of what he's trying to say. Look, the intensity of life, it does come on us in seasons. But I want you to know, you are shaded by the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty will I dwell. Listen, that's where God wants us to dwell. And we see that He is always present. He goes on to say here in verse number 7, and that brings me to my next point, is the very fact that God is all-powerful, He's always present, and God is all-knowing. He knows everything all the time. And I see this truth come out where the songwriter says, "The Lord," in verse 7, "shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." So what does it mean here that God in His preserving power, I believe it's speaking here that God knows where we're going and He knows the battles we're getting ready to face. And God is saying, as you go into these battles, I want you to know, and we know it by His word, that I am going to protect you. I understand what the devil is wanting to do. You know, God knows it when we're being attacked by the enemy. You think of Job. Remember Job? You remember very clearly the devil had to get permission from Satan in order to attack. And that happens, by the way, every time. The devil cannot touch us unless he has first gotten permission from God. Do you believe that, church? That's Bible. God has to give him permission. And there are times that God will say, "Okay, that's my servant. And I'll allow you to go so far." But at the same time, do you know what God does? The same thing He did for Job. You know what He did? He preserved him. How else could this man, after going what he went through, still trust God? How could this man, on what he went through, still say, "Hey, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know why? Because God was preserving him. And he kept his eyes on the Almighty, even though what he was going through. But you know, God knew about that. The word "preserve" here is used three times in verses 7 and 8, and it gives the idea of keeping. He's keeping us from falling during the attacks. You know, he knows it all. And he's saying here, this point going forward, God will sustain my life no matter what. And I want you to understand that tonight, God knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what your family member's going through. He knows what's happening. And you got to be assured that God knows, and He's not going to stand around, if I can use this terminology, with His hands in His pockets when His children are going through the fire. When they're going through an attack. No, that is not a picture of our God. I believe our God, from what I understand right here, He's upholding us. He's carrying us through. He's got a watch over us. And He's walking us through these times of difficulty. And as we keep our eyes on Him, He promises to uphold us and to sustain us and to protect us from the onslaughts of Satan himself, the demonic armies that are every day trying to hurt the child of God, trying to hurt the church of God in this world, trying to distract us and get our eyes off of God. And then there's my own deceiving heart. And by the way, I pray this every day by the grace of God when I get to the Lord, deliver us from evil. I say, "Lord, number one, deliver us from Satan and his tactics, his schemes, his trickeries, his deception." I pray those things. And then secondly, I pray this, and I encourage you to do the same. "Lord, deliver me from the evil of my own heart." Pray that, friend. Pray it. Pray it every day. Because you still have an evil heart. Okay? Do you believe that, church? Yes. We do. And God is the only one that can deliver us. And so we see here that this songwriter knew that. That God is all-knowing. God knows how I'm being tempted right now. And God's going to uphold me and strengthen me. I read a report that it's pretty interesting to me. Some people, these kind of facts, it's not very interesting, but I read about the President Trump, and of course this applies to any of the presidents, but the secret service detail that each of the presidents have is simply amazing. On the work, it really boggles our minds on what kind of work goes into a service like that. Secret service for the United States president. Just the other day, as they were in Oregon, that the Secret Service goes to every place that the president will step foot. They go 3 months in advance to clear out all the area, to scope it out, and they continue that watch preparing for the president to come there. Just on the Secret Service staff, there are 3,000 Secret Service members. Okay, that's counting the official. There are unofficial ones that also help, and there's 1,300 of those. They're called uniformed officers, basically who are recruited for the time that when the president comes to that town. And then that's not counting all the details that go into his vehicle, to his plane, the things they got set up. I also read at every time, at every place he goes, where Air Force One comes down, he said there is another jet just as big and just as fast that is flown in at a different location only a 30-minute drive away. So if something happens to that one, they rush him to the other. And I could just go on and on and on about these plans that are made. And boy, how even they made a kind of a joke of this, but you know, there's kind of a joke about the president and President Trump and his diet. The things he eats daily, you know, he's been given a hard time about that. And, but jokingly, the Secret Service is very in tune with what the president is eating. And it's not just whether it's greasy foods or not, but they are always watching his food everywhere he goes at every time of every day, making sure no one has put any poison on it. Everywhere. Imagine. Every tray. Everything. There is at least several of these Secret Services that are watching it. They go with the president everywhere. He hardly has any privacy. They are protecting him. They are understanding and knowing his every move. And I want to tell you, that's a Secret Service. Those are humans for a president. It does not compare to the protection and the knowledge that our God has of our everyday lives. Our God is in tune. He's our Secret Service detail. And the context of our protection. Every move of every day, our God has set a watch over us. Isn't that what the book says? That's what the book says. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. What an awesome God we serve. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, let your eyes look beyond the hills. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I think of there in 2 Chronicles 20:12, there had Jehoshaphat was overwhelmed and they didn't know what in the world was going to happen to the nation of Israel and the army. And they said this, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But get this next phrase. But our eyes are upon thee. That is our God. And so tonight, as we close in prayer and then have group prayer, I want us to meditate upon how much the Lord cares for us tonight, no matter what we're going through. And if you will simply meditate upon the attributes of God, you will quickly find yourself comforted and strengthened no matter what you're going through. Let's pray. Father, I do ask you to add your blessings upon the word, and Lord, use it in every heart present here. I pray, God, we'd leave here encouraged, knowing that you're in charge, and Lord, that you do truly care about every detail of our lives. They matter to you. And so, God, let us meditate upon that, and Lord, may that motivate us to be faithful to Thee, to not take our eyes off of You, to look to our left hand or to our right hand, or even to look to Your creation. But Lord, may we look to Thee and Thee alone. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.